Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. This is episode 44 on January 12th, 2019. I'm your host, Eric, and in this week's show, we will cover the trades from last week on General Electric, the U.S. Oil Fund ETF, and Apple Computers. And we discussed three new trades on Carvana, Kronos Group, and American Airlines. Now, it's always great to hear from listeners, so if you have any questions about the trades presented here or about your own positions, feel free to email me. You can reach me at eric@theweeklyoption.com. That's E-R-I-C at theweeklyoption.com. I've also created a short video series to teach you all the basics of option trading that you'll need to understand in order to follow along with me on this show. You can visit our website and click on the videos tab to watch them, or just turn to YouTube and find our channel, the channel for The Weekly Option. Now, this has been an interesting week, given so much, once again, so many things happening in D.C. with our government, and with the market sort of coming into this first week of the new year of 2019. This, thankfully, it was a positive one with the Dow Jones Industrial Average rising 562 points to end the week at 23,995 points. The S&P 500 index grew 64 points this week, ending at 2,596 points. Now, there are 104 publicly traded companies in the U.S. that will be announcing quarterly earnings this upcoming week. So this number is going to be increasing. We're probably just a couple of weeks away from full-on earnings season. On Monday, we'll hear from Interactive Brokers and Citigroup. On Tuesday, Delta Airlines, United Continental, Charles Schwab, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, and United Health Group will announce their quarterly earnings. On Wednesday, we'll hear from Alcoa, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, and Kinder Morgan, each reporting their quarterly earnings. And then on Thursday, we'll hear from Netflix and Morgan Stanley, and then wrapping up the week on Friday with Schlumberger announcing their quarterly earnings. And these are just a handful of the companies that I'll be watching. These are some of the stocks that I actually like to watch and follow. As you can see, we have both a grouping of the major airlines announcing, and we also see that many of the banks and stock brokerages are starting to announce as well. So should be an interesting one to keep track of. Oftentimes, those companies, many of those names have great trades on a weekly basis, like and great volume too. So I keep an eye on earnings just to make sure that I understand any factors that might make both the stock price more volatile and the option price more volatile. So with that being said, and me using that word volatile, let's get into the topic of the week. So the topic for this week is implied volatility. And that's mostly because one of my students in the Option Studio course asked how I use implied volatility in my trading. So I rarely mention the word volatility on this show. It's a mathematical concept that attempts to measure movement, typically relative to something like an average or standard deviation. So it's one of the main inputs into every option pricing model out there. I'm sure many of you have heard of the Black-Scholes model. Volatility is a key component of those. Now, we're not going to go much deeper than that with regards to both the math of volatility or actual option pricing models. If that's something that interests you, definitely email me. I can bore you anytime. But for the show, let's just make it a little more simple. So in layman's terms, consider two stocks, right? They both are priced around $25 per share. Stock A moves in price roughly 2% a year. Stock B, on the other hand, has price swings up and down of roughly 20% each year. Now, in this scenario, stock B is clearly more volatile than stock A, and as such, the options on stock B should typically be priced higher than the options on stock A, assuming both stocks are priced at the same at the moment, and that we're considering the same, the same strike price, type of option and expiration. Now, traders typically speak of two types of volatility. The first is historical volatility. Now, that's the volatility level that I can calculate using the underlying stock data. This is also the volatility we would use for our model pricing formula to calculate a theoretical price of the option. Now, the second type of volatility, and it's the one that I mentioned earlier, is implied volatility. This is the volatility level that we can calculate based on the prices of the in the options market. Now, because options can trade on their own based on their own supply and demand or any news events that are specific to options, options themselves can trade at a different volatility level than what you would calculate in the stock price itself. So this volatility level is implied from the price of the option, not the underlying stock. Now, every option price has an associated implied volatility. And I don't speak about implied volatility much, but I do speak quite a bit about price. We talk about price on the show often. And they can be the same thing. If I'm considering a $1 spread and I'd like to sell it for 30 cents or more, or I'd like to buy it for 60 cents, 65 cents or less, there's a volatility level that's implied, it's inherent in my plan, even though I'm not speaking of it in terms of implied volatility. Some companies trade at such low volatility levels that it's never worth me trading them. They don't trigger my trading rules for managing risk. An example of that would be like Coca-Cola. It's hard for me to find trades in Coca-Cola. Any of the old school blue chip dividend paying stocks, oftentimes they trade at a lower volatility level. And so I don't get to discuss them on this show. And that's the reason why. Now, sometimes I'll see a price in a spread that also looks too good to be true. And I'll mention that on the show, like, this is really fishy. I'll have an idea that they're going, that the company is going through a more volatile time. And it's because of the price level of the options themselves. Like, I can see it. Because I've been trading options so long, I don't have to actually calculate that implied volatility to know that, oh, this stock or this option clearly has a higher implied volatility. And oftentimes I can see it in the volume data as well. Now, volatility is a much more complex topic than I can unwrap on this show, but I at least wanted to give a small explanation and kind of explain why my trading style doesn't focus on implied volatility. You might have some other folks that you listen to for option trading information or education, and they might talk about volatility all the time. And look, I can talk vol all day. Vol is short for volatility. It's what I do for a living. But at the same time, my goal on this show, once again, is to make options really understandable for the regular investors, so that you guys can hear trades that make sense every week and hopefully be ready to dip your toe in that market as well. I emphasize the fact that options are a great tool in your wealth building arsenal, right? Like, don't just understand equity stock. Know how you can use options as well, either to make money on the options themselves or even just to be able to hedge any risk that you're taking in your stock portfolio. Now, if you have any other questions about option trading or my style specifically, you're more than welcome to email me. You can contact me once again on my email address. That's eric@theweeklyoption.com, eric@theweeklyoption.com. If you have a question or a topic that you'd like to see discussed or hear discussed next week, just email me. And chances are I'll take it on because, I like talking shop and I could talk you guys to death on options. And I guess that's why I have a podcast on the subject. So let's dive into the trades from last week. We started off with a covered call. Before I get into this, we know that the markets, both the S&P and the Dow, were higher this past week. Crude oil was higher as well, and so some of the commodities had a nice week. So what makes money when the market goes up? You know, call options, stock positions, call options that you own, and then any puts that you sold will likely have made money. Quite the opposite, if you sold calls not tied to stock, if you sold call spreads, and if you bought puts or put spreads, chances are those lost money. So right off the bat, we'll just dive into last week's trade. So we'll start off with the covered call on General Electric, GE. At the time, stock was trading for $8.23. And I looked at the January 8.5 call, selling that for 22 cents, hoping to collect a 5.95% return in 2 weeks. These options will be expiring this upcoming Friday. Now, GE stock rose 71 cents this week, ending the week at $8.94 per share. So our stock made money, which is great. And that 8.5 strike option that we sold is now in the money, which creates our best profit scenario. This means that we made 22 cents on selling the option, and we get to keep 27 cents of that stock gain. So this is a winning trade, and at this point, I would simply wait it out. I'd wait for this position to expire on Friday. The trader that purchased the call option will be given our stock shares for $8.50 per share upon expiration, assuming the stock stays above $8.50 this week. So that's a nearly 6% return in 1 week. It's not bad. I'll take that every day of the week, right? Now, the credit spread that we looked at last week was on United States Oil Fund ETF, USO. At the time, the ETF was trading for $10.18 per share. We looked at selling the January 10, 9.5 put spread and collecting 15 cents. Well, that USO ETF rose 72 cents this week, ending at $10.90 per share. The out-of-the-money put spread we sold is even more out of the money now. So the spread, which we sold for 15 cents, can actually be bought back for 3 cents, which will lock in a profit of 12 cents per spread. Now, of course, this is expiration this week, so you can leave the trade on and possibly, get the other 3 cents, finishing up by keeping that full 15 cents in your trading account. If you feel like oil may go lower this upcoming week, you would definitely want to go ahead and buy that put spread back in and lock in your profit. So that's it. When things work, I try to keep my hands off of them. And if they don't work, I try to think my way through it. So speaking of not working, unfortunately, we've got the debit spread. We looked at Apple, symbol AAPL, Apple Computers. When we looked at this trade, Apple was trading for $148.26 per share. And we looked at buying the January 152 half, $150 put spread for $1.45. And that would have created a maximum gain of $1.05, or 72% return, and what effectively would have been 2 weeks. Well, Apple stock rose $4.03 this week. And part of the reason it was down last week was on a news event. And I, once that news was announced and they took the stock lower, I guess the market felt like there was an overreaction. So stock actually rose $4.03. So the in the money put spread we bought is now out of the money. We paid $1.45 for this spread, and the spread can be closed right now for 90 cents per spread. So that's a 55 cents loss this week. Now, given how much stock moved this week, I would honestly look at closing this trade by selling the spread and hopefully locking in only a 55 cent loss. Now, we know that when we buy spreads, or buy options for that matter, we can actually lose. The most that we can lose is the amount that we paid for it. So we paid $1.45 per spread, and right now, you can close out and still keep 55 cents in your account, or add 55 cents back to your account. There's only 1 week left to these options, And the time value is really going to be evaporating from them quickly starting on Monday. So given the short amount of time left to the spread, for that spread to go back in the money, I would just take the loss and live to trade another day. And that's the beauty of spread trading, right? We know our maximum, we know our risk right from the start. We know our maximum gain, our maximum loss, our break-even points. We have an idea of how to size the trade so that no single trade, no single loss ever takes us out of the game. So this last week, had 2 out of 3 winning trades. Always sucks to lose money at all. But it's been a good run if you guys have been listening to the show for several weeks. So that's it for this, for last week's trades. Let's get into the new trades. Always love fresh ideas, new trades. And I hope that you guys really appreciate even the fact that I give some trade ideas each week, because that's what makes this fun. So this week, we'll start off with the covered call on Carvana. Carvana stock finished the week trading for $36.80. The symbol is CVNA, Charles Victor Nancy Adam. I'm looking at owning that stock at $36.80 and selling the February 37 call, collecting $3.20, and hoping to create a 9.24% return over the next 5 weeks. Now, you enter this trade by buying Carvana stock for $36.80 and then selling the February 37 call at $3.20, and we'll reach our maximum profit if stock finishes at February expiration, stock finishes higher than $37 per share. And before I continue, I did want to point out the fact that, two things. First off, this is expiration week. This upcoming Friday will be options expiration. I believe that is Friday the 18th of January. So all of your January positions will be expiring then. And so all 3 trades for this week focus on February. The second part, one of the things I didn't mention on this Carvana stock is that Carvana actually recently acquired another company. And so that's why they're in the news a bit. So there may be some heavy news risk or even a little bit additional volatility in this option. So you'll definitely want to take a look at the stock and do some research if you decide to trade it alongside me. Now, our second trade may be controversial. Hopefully not. I just see it as money. But it is a credit spread on Kronos Group, symbol CRON, Charles, Richard, Oscar, Nancy. The stock finished on Friday for $13.67 per share, and I'm looking at selling the February 13-12 put spread for 41 cents, which creates, of course, a maximum loss of 59 cents. Now, you enter this trade by selling the February 13 put at $1.12 and buying the February 12 put for 71 cents. This is a credit spread because we're selling the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices finish above $13 per share. So just a little background, Kronos Group is actually a Canada-based company that is heavily involved in marijuana. That's why I said it's a controversial trade. But they did get listed on the NASDAQ. So this is one of the few groups that you can, one of the few ways that you can actually invest in a marijuana stock. So this is one of them here in the U.S. And, being able to sell the spread for 41 cents, pretty rich. I like that. The stock has been pushing higher as well. You can do your own research on the industry or on the company itself, of course. I just look at the options. I look at the news and the chart, and all gave me sort of a go for looking at selling a put spread against a stock that appears to be strong. So do your research, see if it fits for your portfolio. Don't email me about being upset about me looking at a marijuana stock. unless you're going to be upset about, you know, anything else I look at, because Carvana and their, you know, carbon footprint. And the next trade is actually going to be American Airlines, so another airplane. Now, our debit spread is on American Airlines, symbol AAL, Apple, Apple, Larry. Stock finished on Friday at $31.80. And I'm looking at buying the February 33-32 put spread for 64 cents, which will create a maximum gain of 36 cents per spread, or 56.25% return in 5 weeks. Now, you enter this trade by buying the February 33 put for $2.50 and selling the February 32 put at $1.86. This is a debit spread because we are buying the spread. And this trade makes the most money if stock prices stay below $32 per share. Now, the one caveat with this trade, of course, is that earlier I mentioned that this upcoming week we were going to hear from Delta Airlines as well as United Continental. So with those two companies announcing earnings, and then American Airlines this past week actually announced a little bit of guidance, lower expectation for their own stock, which is why I feel a little bit safe buying a put spread on this stock. You just have to know that there could be some volatility. If for some reason Delta and United really knock it out of the park, that could have some ramifications on this American Airlines trade. So again, you know, that's the reason why I keep an eye on earnings, and that's also a reason why it's always good to dig into the stock just a little bit to see if there's a reason why the options look as good as they do. So that is it. That's all I have for you this week. Man, I hope you guys are planning on an amazing 2019. And I say planning for rather than hoping for, because, I mean, hope springs eternal, but man, it's hard to eat hope. But a plan, at least, even if it doesn't happen the way you expect, at least if you're starting the year out with an idea of how 2019 is going to be better than 2018, man, you're a leg up on so many folks out there. So, you know, figure out what you want, and hopefully I can be part of you getting there this upcoming year. So, hey, again, this is Eric. I love hearing from you guys. Thank you for the emails. Keep reaching out at eric@theweeklyoption.com. That's all I got for you. Have a great week. Happy trading.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.